afternoon, good evening, and good morning to those across the pond and around the world. You're listening to Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. My name is Mitch Batras, and I'm your host. Well, welcome into August. Here we are, August 3rd, 2004, and, matter of fact, now that I just said that out loud, I think I remember Adam Rubel telling us that Carlos Barrios, the Mayan elder, that August is a very unsettling month. Well, we're going to listen to what's going on in the Mayan world in many ways. We're going to listen to Ian Lundgold, who has been out in the real world experiencing the transition in first person on the front line, and how it may manifest for many of us. Now, one thing really struck me before I go into a very brief breaking news events, and then, of course, Ian bringing him right on. In my brief conversation with Ian, what struck me was, well, many things. Matter of fact, now that I've had better thought of it, I want to go over this with him. So let me go over the breaking news events first. The sunspot count is still very, very low. It's in double digits. Sunspot count today is 39. And there's only two sunspot regions, both of them relatively small, 654 and 655. However, what I think we're witnessing, folks, is the calm before the storm. For those of you that are on the newsletter list, you did receive an article and a link that provides you a graphic of the far side of the sun. In other words, if there was a SOHO 2, that's where it would be positioned, and that's what we'd be looking at. And for those of you that did view it, you're looking at one monstrous sunspot region. I would say very close to the same size as 652, which was the huge one that threw us some X-class flares, several M-class flares, over a dozen. The geomagnetic storm, the KP index, off the chart, literally. And, of course, the geomagnetic storms that go with it, with the raging weather that we've been experiencing in all parts of the world. I think in the United States, the one that experienced the worst part of it was New Jersey. And they're still being pounded. Still being pounded. Of course, we have the hurricane that's coming in towards North Carolina. Let me turn that. Let me see. Is there anything more on the sunspots? No. To finish up on that, folks, we have about 72 hours, possibly for 4 days, 3 to 4 days, before this sunspot comes around. It's not numbered yet. As soon as it comes around the eastern limb, they'll tag it. But it's looking pretty nasty, really nasty. Like I said, as bad as 652, which put DOD on alert, Department of Defense, all essential personnel for all power grids in the northern hemisphere, and, of course, all satellite communications. Everyone was put on alert, high alert. At the Space Weather Center, that all passes were removed, and they had a full essential staff round the clock. Matter of fact, as you know, I was going to have Dr. Ernest Hildner on, who I've had on before, who is the director of the Space Weather Center in Boulder, Colorado. There is no higher authority to get this information. And, of course, it goes straight to me and straight to you. Now, let me switch over to volcanoes very quickly here, because for those of you that leave the newsletter, you know that volcanoes in Alaska in particular are popping up. They're activated. Three of them are in the code yellow. One, I cannot confirm this report yet. I'm told that one, not Mount Spur, but another one, may have gone to code orange. If I gather information while we're in this interview. I will break the into the interview and make that announcement. Now, let me go quickly to volcanoes. I believe there's one more active volcano that started erupting today. And yes, today, here it is. It is in the South Atlantic. It is Crista da Cunha volcano in the South Atlantic. A swarm of earthquakes struck Crista da Cunha on the 28th and 29th of July. The main swarm lasted about 8 hours and was located 30 kilometers under this volcano. After the main swarm, there were a few individual quakes. Now, we know, folks, that that's why we're monitoring Yellowstone Park so cautiously. Whenever we see a swarm of earthquakes, we know that that there is a high potential for volcanic activity, which has been the case in the three volcanoes in Alaska, and all of which have been put on code yellow and one possibly code orange, which means that it's erupting, it's blasting now. So like I said, if I get confirmation of that during this interview, I will break through and bring that to you immediately. Torrential rains and hailstorms are all over the nation. And then we go to South America, and I guess you've been hearing what's happening in Argentina. Remember, folks, it's winter down there. Winter, this is when they're experiencing what they call 0 degrees Celsius, which is 32 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the average winter temperature. And now it is like 25 degrees Celsius. It's in the 70s and 80s. The trees are in bloom. But fret not and fear not. This is all part of a very natural cycle. The earth has seen this many times before. That is why I'm not hitting the panic button. And I sure as hell am not going to play that stupid game of this global warming crap, which unfortunately the environmental zealots had hijacked the name. And they're now using it for their own selfish agenda. To blame the populace so they can get their grant money, which is what this is all about, folks. When you wipe it all clean, I'm afraid to say that science has become nothing more than a political ball. And that is part of what the Mayan prophecy tells us about and what will be challenged and very shortly wiped out. Which brings me to my guest, Ian Lundgold. As you know, I've had Ian on the show many, many times. We're becoming very good friends. And I am really enthralled with his journey. Because this guy lives it. He just doesn't talk about it. He just doesn't lecture about it. Not only does he have an innate and keen understanding of the Mayan calendar, which very few of us do, but he's able to explain it to us. But even more than all of that, he is living it. So let's bring him on now and just hear what kind of journey is in store for the rest of us. Ian, are you there?
Yeah, boy, I got to meet this guy, Ian.
Well, Ian, I tell you what, you are one of the most humble people that I know, and your level of integrity is really so far up the charts. To be able to share what you have gone through, you know that most of us would be way too embarrassed and even shame to experience some of the challenges you have. But my gosh, did you grab it and write it for all it's worth, and you certainly benefit from it.
Well, I certainly have. It just seems that it's responsible to me to do what I'm talking about. And this wasn't totally voluntary, what has happened, the situation that propelled me into being out on the road was not exactly voluntary. But I'm telling you, it sure has been a benefit. It has.
Where are you now?
Right now, I'm in Canada. I'm in the in British Columbia, and I'm staying in a lovely home. The motor home that we've been traveling in is now parked out beside a lovely English garden, and it's just sort of blissful. For right now, anyway.
Ian, let me tell you, this last newsletter that you sent out really got my attention, and I read every one that you do send, and there's been a gap since the last one, so I was very pleased to get yesterday's, I believe it was. And you have come into some very interesting insights. And the way that it read kind of suggested to me that more than likely you could have got there no other way.
That is precisely the truth. Without actually testing what I was talking about, maybe we should just explain a little what the Mayan calendar says is going on right now, and then what it is that I am actually doing out here on the road.
Yes.
The first thing is, I'm not going to go into great detail about the Mayan calendar structure or anything, but in general, the Mayan calendar describes the evolution of consciousness, and our sciences prove that there is this repeating and ever-accelerating pattern of the unfoldment of creation, that it keeps going back over. History does repeat itself in a magnificently large way. And we've now uncovered the pattern of this schedule of evolution in the Mayan calendar. And since it's a repeating pattern, and since we know where we are in the schedule, we know what kind of consciousness is due for this time period, and what kind of consciousness is coming in the near future. And in basics, that's what I've been talking to people about all over the planet. And in general, there is a constant acceleration of event in the world, and it looks to us like time is speeding up, but in fact, it's not. Time is the same regular speed. What is speeding up is creation itself. Creation itself is speeding up, packing more and more event in less and less time, which gives us the mental illusion that time is going faster.
Yes.
Now, it's very important to differentiate the two, because if time is just going back faster, then you're just getting older quicker. But if more is happening in less time, that means there are more available options of what could happen. And this is the crux of the information that I have delved or gotten from the Mayan calendar, is that what is called for right now in this Mayan calendar is the acceleration of the evolution of consciousness into a place where we start to be able to actually manifest our own reality.
Yeah. You know, if we were to stop right there, it sounds so blissful and relaxing and lovely, but that's not always the case, is it, Ian? In other words, much of what you're speaking of is somewhat of a double-edged sword. Although we have more choices, and as we get closer to manifestation upon thought, that can be a pretty bumpy road, can't it?
Yes, it can, or it can be very smooth. And I think that on this journey, I've kind of figured out what makes the difference.
Oh, boy.
It being a rough road or being a smooth road.
Listen up, folks, here. This is what I've been waiting for.
Well, this is easy to confront or contemplate, or let alone do. And that is, what makes it smooth is your own personal integrity. What makes it rough is your lack of integrity. And that does include you putting up with other people's out integrity.
Yes.
In other words, for you to be in your integrity, you must fairly well demand that the people around you and your associations are also in theirs, or things are not going to go very smooth for you.
Yes.
Especially during this period of consciousness. Now, in previous cycles of consciousness, we could get away with or get by with more growth acts, with more reactionary or, frankly, less evolved reactions to situations. But as consciousness has evolved and become more rarefied, it has become more sensitive, less allowing for the progress of destructive actions.
Yes.
And only allowing things which are more refined, more elevating. And what we're seeing in the governments and corporations around the world right now,
yes,
is that they are under tremendous stress to become ethical,
yes,
or to display their integrity, or to be removed.
Yes.
It's Rome falling all over again.
Oh, that's interesting.
There is a change, a shift going on in consciousness.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me back up to that for a moment, Ian. That is just, I think I'm having a moment of clarity here. I don't think we ever had the language to describe the fall of the Roman Empire other than to say it was the collapse of the family. I don't think we had the language to relate it to integrity. Now, in this very moment, Ian, since you just dropped that on me, I see, historically, what may have happened to the Roman Empire much differently than just the fall of the family, but the essence, the integrity of each individual, and the rising of consciousness. Is that what you're thinking or saying?
Well, the primary rule of Rome came from Caesar, or the head leader, who was a god on earth. And the whole integrity of that system was pretty well tore up, destroyed, by a new consciousness that was brought in by this guy Jesus, that everybody's divine.
Yes.
Not just the ruler.
Right.
And so the attack there was on the whole percept that you had to obey this guy because he was God. And when that eroded, when that went away, that's what happened to Rome. Basically, what happened to Rome was consciousness changed.
Yes.
It wasn't that the sword got dull,
yes,
or the helmet wouldn't polish up, you know. It was that consciousness changed and people just fairly well ignored what Rome had to say.
Yes.
And without the support, and without the fear factor, the overwhelming, shock and awe of the Roman legions, they just couldn't hold it together.
Right.
So the same sort of thing is happening, but on a global scale today, with corporate governments. Then that is including our government, which is a corporation, not an elected body.
That's right.
And and all the other multinational corporations that share the plunder of this planet.
Yes.
All of that is coming to a grinding halt, not because they don't have the technology to keep on or the willingness to enslave everyone. That they've got. What they don't have is integrity, and that's what's called for right now during these times.
And it's so hard not to get political, Ian, but I'm sorry, just for reference, at least from my perspective, folks, there's no secret how I feel about Bubba. But Ian, at least in my reality, that is exactly what I'm seeing played out with the Bubba Bush regime. As hard as they're trying to play that facade, it just ain't happening.
Oh, no, and they're getting much more frantic.
Yeah.
I just read a little article about Ann Coulter.
Oh, God.
What she was writing. and the fact that she was fired for her ranting.
Yeah.
And here is a conservative woman, a very attractive woman, could be maybe nice, except that she's not.
Right.
She's just a ranting lunatic against anything that smacks of liberal or of allowing.
Empowerment, I would say.
Yeah, she's just an example of some of these guys trying to put across their point.
Yeah.
And they're doing that more and more clumsily, this last terrorist warning.
Yes.
The orange alert. All of that being based on three-year-old data.
Exactly.
You know, it's getting so blatant.
Yeah.
So now that's what's happening to anybody who isn't in integrity.
Gotcha.
As this is on the part of consciousness, people. This is not some law that's been passed. This is not some secret technology. What this is consciousness in general, overall, is bent on ethics. It's bringing ethics or a level playing field to all of consciousness. And what is happening to any kind of system or person that doesn't have integrity is that they are becoming unsupported by creation. They are becoming more and more desperate. Whereas a corporation could be seen as a ravaging, you know, a raging, hungry beast. Now, the governments and the corporations are more like suffocating.
Yes.
Very desperate.
Yes.
Meanwhile, what's happening to people who have integrity? Haven't you all out there, everybody out there, probably noticed to some degree that what they have intended, what they have wished to have happen, has happened quicker than at any other time in your life? Now, sometimes you don't want what's best for you.
Yeah, there's the challenge.
It still shows up.
Yes.
If you want it, it's there. What you put your attention on, you become conscious of. This has always been the truth, but you become conscious of it a whole lot quicker now. And it's going to keep on accelerating, and it's going to keep on becoming easier and easier to manifest what it is that you intend. There's an allegory or a metaphor that maybe this will help. If you think of a stream and of rocks across the stream, and you're going to intend to get across, if there's only a few rocks, it may be a little bit of a challenge to get across the stream. Maybe you even get a little wet getting across the stream. But now imagine the same stream with five or six times the rocks.
Yes.
You can jump backwards, forwards, sideways, you can go over this way or that way, and still get across. As more and more happens in less and less time, more is possible to occur. In other words, there are more possible outcomes to every moment.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so, which is the one that's most likely to occur? Out of all the possibilities in front of your face, which is the one that's most likely to occur?
Well, I have two thoughts. One would be the one I give most of my attention, and the other could be, and please correct me on this, could be the one that I fear the most.
Well, it's actually both, because fear is still attention.
Yes, it is, of course.
So the one that you are putting your most attention on is the one that is going to show up.
Regardless of its if it's motivated by desire or fear, it doesn't matter, does it?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you put a bunch of mice on the table and you like mice, then you're going to pick up one that you put most of your attention on.
That's right.
And if you hate mice, then you're going to try to get that one, kill it, or get rid of that one that you just detest the most.
That's right, yes.
And it's that way about every single thing these days. So, that's what I've been saying. That's what I've been out there and telling crowds of people, is that right now is the time when you can stand up and just start creating your life the way you want it to be. Now, not that it's easy, but it is definitely possible to do it. And I actually went out and did that.
Oh, man, did you ever?
Yeah, I stood up out of Sedona, Arizona. Now, most of you have, you know, maybe some have been to Sedona. Other people, you've heard the legend of Sedona. And yes, it is beautiful. And yes, it is highly spiritual. And yes, I did benefit from being there. But there comes a time when you are to move. And I actually had house, and there's all this detail on our webpage, mayanmagix.com. That's MayanMagix.com. And you can read all about it. Anyway, we went on the road. And we had adventure after adventure after adventure. One of the first adventures was having our motorhome motor blow up.
Oh, boy.
And having no money to get the $6,000 fixed up.
Oh, my gosh.
And sitting in a place in Utah, a little town in Utah, wondering, how are we going to manifest $6,000? Well, rather than wonder about it, let's just do it. And you know, we did.
Oh, my gosh.
Inside of 2 days, we manifested $6,000.
Unbelievable.
We had, actually, to give you guys some idea, we had them start the work on the motorhome. We didn't have the money. We just had them start the work. And then the day before they got their work done, we got the money. That's the kind of trust that we just went ahead and just did it.
Man. Now, Ian, folks, this is very meaningful to me. I hope it's meaningful to you. Why? Because, sure, the faces may be a little different, the circumstances may be a little different, but I think the foundation is going to be very close to the same for all of us. And that is, if you're like me, as knowledgeable as I am about the transition and about the flow of life and synchronicity, change can be very uncomfortable still. And yes, my resistance comes up. And sometimes in self-defeating ways, what Ian has experienced and what he's getting ready to tell us throughout the rest of this hour is that it took these unintended consequences to help motivate him to leap into the river of faith, I guess you could say. Now, Ian, the question to you would be, you know, I have often been speaking of earth changes, doing that type of thing, that the earth changes when the escalation of earthquakes, weather phenomena, volcanoes, and of course all related to solar activity, is not a bad thing, but in many cases it'll probably be a motivating thing.
Oh, yes. It's going to stir the pot.
Yeah.
For sure. And there is absolutely, from this point forward, there's absolutely nothing to fear.
Well, let me ask you, in your personal experience, Ian, what was the question be? What level of fear did you have, or anxiety, in those several days from the time you took your vehicle in till the money manifested? Or were you really able to release it all right away?
Really able to release it all right away.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's why it worked. Otherwise, we would have been worried about not getting the money, and it would never have showed up. It's that simple.
Why can't we do it? Why can't I just go and do that right now, Ian? What is the resistance most of us have to just doing that?
The mind.
Oh, boy.
Your own mind and those decisions that you've come up with that this can't happen. All those limits and barriers that your mind has shackled you with. And me. Now, it's not to say that those thoughts didn't come, that this won't happen.
Yeah.
When those thoughts came, though, what we had to do, both Madeline and I, we looked at them. We looked at those thoughts for exactly what they were. Thoughts.
Yeah.
Not a fact. Not even an influence, unless we hung on to it. And it was writing that. You know, riding those emotions while watching them. And I didn't have the term at the time. I didn't have the term to use for what we were doing.
Yes.
But I do now. And I'm going to go more into this later in the show, but I want to... What we
okay,
were doing...
Hold it right there, Ian. I got to take a very quick 30-second station identification.
Okay.
And that's, folks, that's where we're going to pick it up. Oh, my gosh. I knew this was going to be great. We're going to talk about the mind. Now, remember, the mind is different than the brain. We're talking about thought. Where does thought come from? Here we go. So hold on, we'll be right back. You don't want to miss this one. Welcome back. You're listening to Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. This is Mitch Batras, and I'm your host. All right, welcome. I can see that many of you have come in since the bottom of the hour. You're listening to a live interview with Ian Lundgold. He is traveling the nation right now, currently in Canada, and of course I will ask him if he has any seminars coming up, and maybe, we'll get him here in the Seattle area. And for those of you in the Seattle area that are listening right now, send me an email if you have the skills of organizing a conference, and I will pass that on to Ian. I have a feeling we certainly could coax him into coming here, and what a thrill that would be. I'll tell you what, if you do that, I will be there right next to him, all right? So those of you in the Seattle area, let's make it happen. Hey, let's put what he's been saying to test. Let's make it happen. We'll simply manifest upon thought, and away we go. Speaking of thought, that's just what we were talking about before the bottom of the hour, that it is our minds. Now, I know many of you have known this for years, but you may have known it maybe in a textbook kind of way, in a philosophical kind of way, but what Ian has done is basically put the rubber to the road, and it's manifested in his life. He didn't go voluntarily, but I have a feeling that most of us are going to kind of be nudged along, including me, folks. As much as I know, as much as many of you know, I think it does make it easier, yes. But it's always that last little nudge that kind of pushes us out there. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Yes, and you know what I want to do first?
Yes.
Is I want to acknowledge all of the co-creators out there of this experience, all of the people who rose to in support of what Madeline and I were doing, all of those people who sent in $5, $10, $20, that raised up $6,000 to get our motorhome fixed. I want to thank every single one of you and acknowledge all of your gifts. Of course, it means a great deal to all of us that we are able to co-create these solutions. And blessings.
Yes, absolutely. Folks, I would agree. Of course, I've written about this so many times that community is a necessity of the future. Without community, we're in big trouble. Now, the mind.
The mind.
Yes.
Now there's some big trouble. That beastie is really attached. And the mind is probably the biggest barrier. Well, I think it is the biggest barrier. It's bigger than your body. It's a bigger barrier to ascension than your body is. The mind has all kinds of ideas of what is not possible. And, of course, all of those are lies. Every one of those limits is an outright old lie. because we live in an infinite universe, and in an infinite universe, absolutely everything is possible. So the mind is deluded right from the beginning about anything not being possible.
I would agree. But having that, even having the knowledge of it, Ian, doesn't really make it any easier. There was something else that happened to you.
Yes, there was.
Oh, boy, I know.
Well, it's a process, too. Now, I don't expect this conversation over the radio to instantly bring enlightenment and enchantment to everybody's life. That's not how it happened in my life.
Right.
I had to go through stages of testing and proving this to myself so that I could own it.
Yes.
Just like I learned to walk myself so that I could get around. You have to go through the steps, but I can describe what the steps were like.
Please.
And then invite other people to take them.
Yes,
let's
do that.
Number one thing is being in your integrity. That is, walk your talk. Do and have your thoughts as well as you can and your actions align with your deeper truth.
Yes.
With those deep truths, the ones that aren't going to go away.
Yes.
That aren't going to change. Things like love is light, that kind of thing. You know, like really deep truths that you have. Align your actions and thoughts with those, and you're going to be in your own integrity.
Yes.
It's very important to have that stable base. When you're out of integrity, your mind is going nuts, coming up with all sorts of excuses and reasons why you did what you did, and how you now have to, and methods to hide what you did, and you're so tied up with all of that, that's what you're creating. You're creating a cover rather than a future.
Let me play, there's got to be a better term than devil's advocate, but let me second guess what some of the emails may say. Ian, that sounds easy for you, but I have a family of three kids. I have a mortgage. I have two car payments. I have to pay the insurance for my health insurance for my children. Now, how am I going to go into the office, which I hate for the last 5 years, and tell them what idiots they are, and I'm done? How do you answer that, Ian?
I answer that is, going in and blast in the office is not in integrity, is it? Going in and complaining or whining about your poor situation is not in integrity. Abandoning your obligations is not in integrity. So that person wouldn't be, he would just be acting out, really. To be in your integrity, you would have to be able to document your outrage. In other words, you'd have to have specific instances of malperformance on the part of your coworkers and bring them up in a constructive way that either this gets fixed or I am out of here.
I see.
That's in your integrity.
Yes, of course.
And in most cases, things would get fixed. In those cases where they wouldn't, you and the kids and the wife would be far better off with a different future.
Yes, but the fear, again, going back to that fear factor, which keeps so many of us stuck.
How many people out there have paid $25 to go get the poop scared out of them on some wild ride?
I'd say most of us.
Okay, then why not just take a cup of coffee in your hand, walk into the boss's office, and take a ride?
You know, that's a great analogy. Why don't we do that?
I don't know.
I guess because we fear the consequences are more severe.
Or long-lasting.
Yeah.
Not if you're in your own integrity when you go in there.
That's true, folks. I would agree. I you know me. I've done it. You can tell that by my writings. We certainly know Ian has done it, and I have a feeling many of you have.
I know people out there have.
Oh, yes, of course.
And There are more and more issues where this is going to come up in everybody's face anyway.
Yeah.
This is that issue. Your integrity and the integrity of the people that you're in business or relationship with.
Yeah.
That is that issue. Now, you want to know how to make this transition easy? Get your integrity in line. That's all I did. When I stood up finally and said, okay, I'm going to go walk my talk. Either I'm going to make this work and everything's going to come out just fine, or I'll end up in the ditch somewhere. Well, I ended up in the ditch 8 times.
There it is, folks.
And I just kept going.
I love it.
What's amazing is that every single time that there was an obstacle, I mean, we had big obstacles. You'll read about them later. We had these obstacles come up, and then the solution just manifested right in front of us. It got to where we could not deny that we were absolutely creating the next moment. We were creating a way through where there was no way.
Yes.
It wasn't the question anymore. Is it possible? I mean, we were doing it.
Right.
And it took actually testing it. You can't sit in your living room and talk about all this. That's inane, you know. It doesn't make any sense. Go out and actually do it. And I'm telling you, I'm telling everybody, it's more possible now than ever before to do it. But I want to get down to that one little trigger that
yeah.
I came up with. And that is, you know, your mind has this job that it's supposed to do. It's supposed to look at all the significances, all the similarities and differences in your environment.
Yes.
And then it presents options. You know, it presents different ideas of what you might do.
Yes.
Or the different kinds of consequences that might result from your action. It's your job as consciousness to choose one of those options. Right?
Yes.
Now, we should explain that you are not your mind any more than you are your body. You are not your mind. You are consciousness. You are aware. You are aware of what the mind is saying, but you're not the mind. Understood?
Oh, I do, Ian. I hope others do. Now, the folks, the reason I say that I do is it just so happens that I have been reading quite a bit on this issue, and this is a very controversial issue, folks, so I'm not recommending anything, but I was studying some studies done in the 50s with hallucinogens, LSD, and peyote, which Native Americans, many tribes around the world, are using these, and the way they explained it is just as Ian is saying, is that it separated them from their mind in a very healthy way. Now, I'm not recommending that you go out to your local drug dealer and go get a hit of acid.
No.
Because what seems to be needed along with this type of use is discipline and ritual and elders. That's why it works with the Native Americans. But those that try to use it for recreational use, you're going to lose. I'm sorry, and let's pick it up where you were talking about how to escape from the mind, where you can see the mind but not be a part of it.
Yeah. I mean, anybody can do that. You can sit down and watch your thoughts go by, and it seems like somebody else is sending them, doesn't it?
Yes.
Where'd that one come from? Well, obviously, it ain't you.
Yes.
So, first of all, have that perspective. Now, when the mind presents these options, what it can come up with, then you, the consciousness, make a decision. You choose. Guess what? The mind is out of a job. For a split second there, the mind has completed what it was supposed to do.
Self-preservation.
It is suspended. The mind, for just a moment, is suspended. It's not working.
Yes.
Anymore. It is like just the activity halts. And we even say it in our language. A conversation could go like this. Bill, what are you going to have for breakfast? Bill says, well, I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. 30 seconds later, Bill, have you decided? Bill says, yeah, I know. I'll have pancakes and sausage. He's not thinking about it anymore. He now knows what his future is. Pancakes and sausage.
Yes.
We actually, every day, all the time, dictate what our future is going to be. Maybe not in as grand a scale as most people want or imagine as possible. But we do it on a regular basis all the time, and we do it by the action of choice. Now, there's only one time that you can make a choice, and that is in the present.
Yes,
you can only do it in the very moment. You understand?
Oh, yes.
You can only make a choice in the present moment. The mind only exists in the past and in the future. The mind does not exist in the present moment.
Ooh, that's a powerful statement and true.
So, by making a constant choice of what your next moment will be, you are thereby literally being in that moment, creating your next step. We talk a lot about intuition, and everybody's just impressed with intuition and how we seem to be able to know what the future is.
Yes.
When you're in that intuitive state, you kind of know what the right thing to do is, and what if the actual mechanism there is, in the present moment, when you're locked into that, in the zone, you know, when you're locked into your intuition.
Oh, yes.
What if that state is where you actually do create your next moment? That would be a very good explanation on how come you knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
You literally create the result.
So if one was to practice that or become aware when they're doing it, they have a better chance of repeating it. Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was talking about. You have to take these steps.
Yeah.
And stages. You have to test it for yourself. And you don't have to be drastic. I certainly wasn't drastic about testing anything. I didn't know I was even doing a test.
Right.
To begin with, of testing my intuition, testing the kinds of results.
Yes.
And it took a gradient. But the results are just fantastic.
Yes.
Now, I literally am living exactly the life I want, doing exactly what I want, and I'm even able to help other people financially, you know, like pay people to videotape and things like that to spread this message further.
Yes.
So it's really, really, literally manifesting right in front of my face.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that the reason is partially my consciousness, my own endeavors in this consciousness.
Yes.
But in a bigger way, it has to do with consciousness in general. Remember, consciousness is, the Mayan calendar shows for sure that there's more and more happening in less and less time, with more possible outcomes in every moment. So that means that there are more possible choices available.
Yes.
In every moment, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Now, some time ago, I've done studies about spirit and mind for quite a few years.
Oh, yes.
There is some information about emotions and the different levels of emotion that people go through.
Yes.
It's quite detailed, and I'm going to be putting out some more information about this. But in general, a person who is feeling good has lots of options of what they could decide to do.
Yes.
And a person who is angry has less options.
Yes.
A person who is fearful has even less options that they can perceive.
Yes.
A person who is in apathy, they have only maybe one option, as
suicide.
I or not, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is happening, what is actually being done in all of creation, is that more and more choices are showing up. So let's say that apathy, you only have one choice.
Yeah.
You used to only have one choice. Now, because of how creation is presenting more choices everywhere, in every way, you now have two choices in that state of apathy. And that, you know, when in human history, it's very, very difficult to choose to be in grief, for instance.
Yes.
It's difficult. It has been very difficult to choose to be in grief. All of the psychotherapists in the world understand that when you choose the emotion, it releases the emotion.
Yes.
And so the relief from that mind and that emotion is to choose the state you're in.
Yes.
It was much more difficult in the past to choose grief.
Right.
Because there were only two options. There were only two things happening at any one time in creation, in that band of grief. But now, with this acceleration, there's more than 40 different options.
Right.
In that emotion of grief. In other words, it's easier for a person to actually choose to be there because those options are more available.
Yes.
And that is really, I mean, what this is leading to is our way out of imprisonment in the mind.
Yes.
With more options, more ability to choose, and with choice being the release from the mental patterns, from that incessant thing, it's a natural evolution right out of this dependency on the mind.
Yes.
And into your intuition. And that is exactly what we have been doing on the road. For instance, the first time the motor broke down on a hill in Zion National Park, traffic behind me.
Yeah.
I sat there with the thing shuddering and just then died. I sat there in the middle of the road, jackknifed with the Jeep behind me.
Yes.
And within 5 seconds, I chose to be in that situation.
Yes, I get you. In other words, instead of denying it, rationalizing, justifying, wishing this or that, you fully accept it.
Pounding the dash or whatever else you would have done.
Yeah.
You know? I chose to be there. And immediately, the solution started showing up. I mean, immediately. The very first car that came by stopped. He had a cell phone. He called the tow truck.
Yeah.
We got out of there in very short time.
Yeah.
Sure, it was a bummer. But what are you going to do?
Right.
It's more, and I'm not saying that I'm any kind of special mental strength guy or anything. I'm saying that it's because it's more available.
Yeah.
That I could do that.
Right.
Because creation itself is making more options available.
Right.
If there are more varied choices you can make, and so it's easier to make those in otherwise difficult situations.
I've got a strange question for you, Ian.
Yeah?
Now, I can say this with authority because I've been with you in so many interviews and we have discussed it in so many ways and come at it in so many different angles. For our listening audience tonight, some of you, I imagine, have been following Ian and I and maybe have listened to our interviews. And I'll take this very quick second to remind you, it's all up on our audio archive page, and I strongly encourage you to go listen to him. Why? Because what Ian is doing, and he doesn't even know it, I don't think, is that his personal experiences that he's had in the last several weeks is matching so closely to the Mayan calendar, Mayan understanding, and Mayan prophecy. Now, my question to you, Ian, is were you aware then, and I guess another question would be, are you aware now that what you were teaching us of what the Mayan calendar was saying over the last few years is almost exactly what is happening to you? Is that a surprise to you?
No, it's not.
Were you even in the first day when you're on the side of the road in Mount Zion?
Yeah.
Did you know it then?
No, right then I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It took a bit of this. Actually, there were glimmers of the fact that when we had all the trouble with the house and the bank. I knew then that this was had to do with the third night and with the shedding of old systems. I knew then. But it was just a kind of an intellectual idea.
Exactly.
It wasn't until I was actually out there under the motorhome for the fourth time.
I understand.
You know, grease up past my elbows. I mean, literally.
Yes.
It was just, there was lots of that.
Yes.
So, it was somewhere under there that I got the idea that, that these were all tests that I had chosen to take.
Yes.
And that I also chose to pass these tests. And, knew I was capable of it.
And at what time did you realize that you were in the middle of the third night? I mean, was it shortly after? Was it like the second day that it started to come upon you? Was it kind of an aha, like, oh, that's what this is?
Well, actually, it was after the middle of the third night. It was after, and I had a very deep, dark period.
Yeah.
Darkness of the soul, that was a dark period.
Yes.
That occurred with all of these breakdowns, and it all happened just before, until just after the middle of the third night, which was June 6th.
Yes.
At the time, I realized it was, of course, it was June 6th in the middle of it, but I was so busy handling everything.
Yes.
That I didn't have any perspective.
Right, got it.
On the situation until afterward. And this also added to the certainty.
Yes.
That everything is going to turn out just great.
Yes.
Because I know what kind of consciousness is around the corner.
Yes.
I can see that everything has been following the schedule for 16.4 billion years. I can see that it's been following the schedule for the last 4 years, and that we're right on schedule with everything that's happening in the world, in the headlines, in the news, in the weather. All the systems are being shaken.
Yes.
And that's what this time is all about.
Yes.
And so because it's so accurate up to here, I know that during the fourth day, which, by the way, starts December 4th, 2004, that the Mayan calendar calls for the foundations of a new consciousness to be laid, for that new conscious evolution to be built, the structure to be built from.
Yes.
As in every previous cycle. And from June 4th of 2004, on until November 28th of 2005, we are going to have the foundations of ethics laid down. Now, during this period of time, there's going to be a lot of jostling of anything that doesn't have integrity fairly well disappearing.
Yes.
And what remains standing is those things with integrity. For instance,
well, make it brief. We got to sign off real quickly, and I want to get your website and information in.
Okay, all the natural cycles have built-in integrity. They were built on change. All the man-made systems have no integrity, or very few,
yes,
because they were built to resist change, which is consciousness and evolution. And so, these must come to pass to make room for new creations. And that's all that we're involved in right here. And everyone out there can participate in their own creation.
Okay, hold it right there, Ian. Folks, I hope that was enough to wet your whistle. And let's bring Ian into town. And matter of fact, if you want him in your area, send me an email, and I will pass that along. And let's see if we can't get this guy all around the nation here. To visit Ian's website and gain more information about the foundation of the Mayan calendar, the Mayan understanding, and then you can correlate it to his own personal story, therefore correlating it most likely to your story. It's www.mayanmagics.com. I'll spell it. That's MAYANMAJIX earthchangestv.com. For those of you who visit the Earth Changes TV website, I have a special banner at the top of our front page for Ian. You can go there and click directly onto his site.
And I'm going to be in Calgary next week.
Calgary, folks. Those are those of you listening in the Canada, Vancouver area, all the way up to Calgary, go see them. Ian, we're way out over time.
Okay.
Like always, it's been a wonderful journey, a wonderful interview, and we'll have you on once again.
Thank you, and goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're way over time, so this is Mitch Batters, Earth Changes TV, Radio Hour. See you Thursday. Another fantastic guest coming your way.